I appreciate the kind of brief energizer. I recognize I slightly got the graveyard shift here, the second to last presentation of the morning, and especially after you've had such a lot of excellent contributions, I'm glad that there was a little pause. Also thanks to Patrick for inviting me here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Julian Orme. I'm the head of policy at the World Development Movement. And I want to delve into something, a kind of specific area for change and potential action, which I think has potentially quite a lot of potential to deliver the sorts of change that we've been talking about today. Jeff was talking about systems changes earlier. He talked about economics and finance, about the core things that make the economy run, and about commodities. And the thing I want to talk about today is something that transcends those three areas. It's about commodity speculation. Before I kick off, I just want to ask a brief question, show of hands. How many people in the room have a pension scheme of some kind, a private pension scheme or a local authority pension scheme or, yeah. Okay. I want to suggest that all of you who just raised your hand, the likelihood is very great that the pension scheme that you belong to has in some way contributed to the generation of hunger. And that is something that is still the case, but it's been particularly the case during the food crisis of 2007 and 2008. And I want to explain why that is and what we can do about it. If you cast your mind back to that time a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, when really the predominant international news agenda was about the food crisis and about food riots around the world, depending on the person who was the article you read or the commentator you were listening to, the narrative around that food crisis at the time was very much about increasing demand for meat and milk production, consumption in India and China. It was around the substitution of food crops for biofuels globally. It was around poor harvests in Australia, which is the largest wheat producer in the world at the time, and the stagnation of yields generally globally due to environmental stresses that we've heard about earlier, and of course the sort of impacts of climate change. There was also a contribution linked to the increase of oil prices, which at the time were at record highs. Now undoubtedly some of those sort of structural issues, some of those changes within the global food system have changed the price dynamics of the price of staple commodity crops. Some of them have been building over time. Some of them, like the Australian production crisis and the oil price spikes, were of that time. But I think as a sort of total explanation of what happened during that time in terms of the level of food price increases that we saw during that period, where wheat prices surged 60%, 30% increase in corn prices on global commodity markets, 40% soybean prices, it's not explained by those factors. And it's certainly not explained why they then went back down to their 2006 levels by July 2008. The FAO price index, global price index, increased by 71% in the 15 months between January 2007 and March 2008. And that is an enormous spike that was not accounted for by, I would argue, the fluctuations in supply and demand trends. So what was at fault? Well, my argument is that the real culprit behind that enormous increase in food prices that led to such hunger, civil unrest, and really panic about decreasing food supplies was commodity speculation, predatory commodity speculation, to be precise. So at a very basic level, speculation is just an activity to profit from a future difference in the price of an asset. Speculation happens across the economy in all areas, and in many cases isn't in and of itself a bad thing. What speculation has, the main growth in speculation though in recent years has been in the financial sector. And in the financial sector in particular, the commodity index funds have been a massive growth area and have become central to the sort of running of the financial economy in recent years. And it's that's become extremely problematic. In contrast to speculation in commercial trade, speculation, we can even think about investment as a form of speculation. It's really not necessarily a dirty thing. But in the financial sector, it's become very divorced from the actual dynamics of supply and demand within the cycles of agricultural production and consumption. And it's been much more linked to changes in stock exchange indices than in sort of changes in the real world economy. And as such, this speculation has been extremely what they call pro-cyclical. It's an economic jargony word. It just means it reinforces trends which are already happening within the stock exchanges. And this was exemplified with the food crisis. So what you had in the end of 2006 and beginning of 2007, as you'll recall, was the unraveling of the subprime mortgage market, the beginnings of the credit crunch, as we now know. But when that happened, essentially, you've got this massive trillions of dollars of capital which is sort of sloshing around the global economy at any given time. And when the property market sort of collapsed and that became an unviable source of destination for hedge fund managers, pension fund managers to pump their money into, they turned to food commodities. They turned to the commodity index funds. Of course, the capacity for those funds to absorb all that income was all that investment was severely strained. So what happened was you saw a surge in demand for agricultural derivatives and futures options warrants, which rose by 32% in that 15-month period, and the value of over-the-counter commodity derivatives rose by 160% between June 2005 and June 2007. And of course, this speculative bubble triggered a corresponding rise in the traditional commodity market spot prices. So what happened was you had buyers basically buying a lot of future agricultural commodity futures because they were scared that their prices were going to go up if they waited too long. You also had sellers into the commodity markets holding back reserves of bulk commodities because they were anticipating future increased price rises. So this kind of conflation of anticipation really in the market created this real bubble in prices. Then when the financial crisis really began to unfold in the summer of 2008, investors really panicked and just chucked all their capital into U.S. Treasury bonds, and then you saw a corresponding cooling in the commodity prices. So where does this leave us? Well, I think we'd all be in agreement from a producer perspective and a consumer perspective that stable markets are really essential in terms of price signals and in terms of the impacts on poverty, in terms of farmers being able to plan and predict income, as well as consumers on tight budgets in poor countries being able to subsist on low incomes. So how do you deal with that volatility? How do you deal with that predatory behavior that can really distort food markets? I think there's three steps or three kind of levels of steps that can be taken. First of all, we have to recognize that here in the UK, we bear a particular responsibility for that phenomenon because we are we have the City of London and we are a particular center of financial power. So what I think we need to do is get, first of all, at the international level, a UN FAO kind of high-level commission to investigate the role of commodity speculation in food price hikes and to develop concrete proposals for controlling risky behavior. Secondly, we need transatlantic cooperation between the UK and the US to require all commodity derivatives to be publicly regulated on publicly regulated exchanges and for limits to be set on the total value of future contracts on specific commodities. Thirdly, we need to see in the UK a register of stock exchange trades and in addition, a regulation of those authorized traders. There's legislation happening. If you think this is all sort of fairly optimistic and pie in the sky, what's really encouraging is that the US, there's legislation on the books right now to bring forward these sorts of changes right now. That's backed by Tim Geithner. It's backed by a number of high-level congressmen and senators in the United States. And I think we really need to launch a corresponding campaign to do the same sort of thing in the UK and really end what's, I think, an incredibly sick and evil, particularly sick and evil part of the global food system. Thanks very much.